Hi, friend. This is Doug Rouse. I get to be the pastor of New River Church in Manchester, Connecticut, and this is our podcast. Thanks so much for listening in today. I hope it really encourages you. Here's today's message.
So now, what does it look like for us to get along? That's chapter 12. And here's what he says, verse 3. It says, "For by the grace given me," this is God's word, "I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." It's key. Each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. I just think it was neat, just a little quick sidelight. We saw this illustrated today. So we have a person in our church, several people in our church, who have the gift of giving, who are generous in their giving. You notice that? And they lay down the challenge. Hey, I'll throw down the first 12-5. Let's see what the rest of the church does. That's the gift. I love that. That's the gift of giving kind of in practice. It's really cool to see. So I just thought I'd say that. And then he goes on, "Love must be sincere. Hate what's evil. Cling to what's good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It's mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, well, you feed him. If he's thirsty, you give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome evil by evil, but overcome evil with good." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you for your word and the power of it. And I just ask today that you would overcome my feeble words and that you would speak to us, Holy Spirit. Have your way. I pray, Lord, that you would encourage where that's needed, comfort where that's needed, convict where that's needed, and just have your way with us, God. Your will is the best thing that could ever happen to us, and we want that this morning. And so teach us, we ask. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Everybody say,
amen.
Amen. You awake today, 10:30? Yeah. The 8:30 crowd was a little quiet, but I'm glad we're getting there today. So this morning, I've called this message this morning, True Belonging. True Belonging. You know, Christianity is a team sport. You're not designed to play it alone. In fact, this thing called the church that we all talk about and know about is really nothing more than a community of people, a global community of people who have chosen to follow Jesus Christ as their Savior. And now we lock arms and we grow together. We're getting to know God together. And we discover that nobody among us is perfect. Nobody among us has the whole package. that where I'm weak, hopefully you're strong, and where you're weak, hopefully I'm strong, and that together we can encourage and keep each other's fires lit, keep each other going, and that we're actually better together than we are apart. True belonging. And that's what we come to in chapter 12, because remember the background, these people were struggling to get along. So that's where we're at. Now, I recognize that as I say true belonging, some of you that creates pain in your heart because you don't feel like you belong anywhere. Some of us really don't even feel like we belong in our own flesh and blood families. And so if you struggle to belong in your home, belonging anyplace else is really going to be a hard time for you. A couple of years ago, actually 20 years ago, Robert Putnam wrote this book called Bowling Alone. Maybe you remember it. I know it's ancient history these days, but it was a bestseller 20 years ago, really groundbreaking, because the whole premise of the book was how, as a culture, we've become increasingly separated, disconnected from each other. And think about it, just even our daily lives are not connected. In the simplest of things, we have garage door openers, so I can pull in. I've actually seen people pull up to the end of their driveway, get their mail from their car door, and then garage door opener, pull in, and then close the door, and you never see the person. They don't ever have to talk to their neighbor. You think about how we design our houses nowadays. Many houses are not designed with a front porch anymore. We're all about the back deck. But it used to be the front porch was the big deal, because that's where you hung out and you saw your neighbors and you got up, caught up on the gossip in the neighborhood. The front porch was the big deal. Not anymore. In fact, I bet some of us would be hard-pressed to be able to name 5 people who live on your street. Just 5 people. Isn't it ironic that we have 1,000 friends in my phone and there's nobody I can call for a cup of coffee? Amen. Isn't that bananas? We've become increasingly disconnected as a culture. And so when I talk about true belonging, that might create a twinge of angst in some of your hearts, or maybe even I don't feel like I belong anywhere. I feel downright alone most of the time. And so this morning's message is for you, but I want to let you know something, that true belonging is less about what other people have to do for you and more about what you do for other people. So we come into Romans chapter 12, and there's 5 things in this little chapter that really enhance true belonging, that talk about true belonging. And you can remember them with this little word, big lowy. Everybody say big lowy.
Big lowy.
I know, and you go, that is not a word. It's not a word. But I'm trying to help you to remember the 5 things. I mean, it's 5 things. I can hardly remember them myself, and I've been studying it. So I know you're not going to remember it. So big lowy, B-G-L-O-E. The B stands for build. Love stands for L. L stands for love. I already blew it. Big lowy. B stands for build. Grow, love, overlook, encourage. There's our 5. Big Louie. So number 1 is this. Build up and don't bring down. Here's the first point that caught my eye here in verse 4. You notice verse 4 there, it says, just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members don't all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. Catch that? We belong to one another. See, here's the deal. You already belong. Belonging is not an option. How you belong, that's the option. The moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you instantly became a part of this great, big, awesome thing called the family of God. You immediately belonged. Now, how you belong, that's the question. Does this make sense? And I love the fact that it uses the human body, as an illustration for what this looks like, because it's just such a perfect illustration. When you think about the human body, it's made up of thousands of parts, and yet every part finds its meaning in the context. Every part by itself is cool, but it really means nothing. Think about your eye. If your eye is an amazing instrument in your body, isn't it? I mean, I don't even fully understand it. There's just tons of things going on in your eyeball, and it's really a marvel how your eye works. And yet, an eye by itself is nasty. The eye only makes sense when it's in context with the rest of the body. Then it's beautiful. Then it means something. And listen, that's the way you and I are. As awesome as you are, and you're awesome, your awesomeness is never fully realized until it's in context with the rest of us. As awesome as you are as an individual, it's never fully realized until it's in context with the rest of the body. That's where we find the meaning. That's where you find yourself firing on all cylinders, in context with the whole thing. I love that, because we're all individuals, yes, but we all are so much better together. And so belonging, that's not an option. How you belong, that is. And so the first choice that we make is, I make the choice to build this up, not bring it down. That's the B in Big Lowy. The second one is this: you got to give the gift you got. Look at what he says in verse six. We have different gifts according to the grace given to us. And then he mentions several of the gifts. This is not a complete list. The Bible, there's other passages of the Bible that give us other gifts. And I mean, so this is just really sort of a snapshot of a few of them. But you've got prophecy, we've got teaching, we've got serving. I love this because, you know, not everybody likes to talk in front of people. They're not a teacher, but love to serve. And then there's encouraging. I love that. What a great gift that is. And then there's prophets, then there's giving, then there's leadership, do it diligently. Isn't that fascinating? All these different gifts. But notice the word gift. It's a key word. Because a gift, in order to be a gift, has to be given. In other words, God doesn't put this thing in you for you to keep to yourself. The whole point of it is it gets given. That's where it begins to find its fullest expression. You want true belonging? You've got to give the gift that you got. Give it. Then you begin to discover how this thing works. And notice that with each gift, there's something that we have to do with it. You notice that too? If it's giving, generous. If it's teaching, well then teach. If it's leadership, then be diligent. You see that? In other words, grow the gift. Your gift comes to you in a small form, and then it's your responsibility to develop its potential. It's like in 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says this to Timothy, his young apprentice, who was a pastor of the church in Ephesus. And he says to Timothy, hey, Timothy, why don't you fan into flame the gift of God that was given to you at the laying on of my hands? In other words, you've received this gift. It's like a little match. Here it is. And now it's your responsibility to take that match and turn it into a wildfire. Fan it into flame, Timothy. Friends, your greatest potential, your fullest potential, it's not going to be realized until you start giving the gift you got to give. One of the tragedies of funerals is buried in every grave is unused potential. Every casket contains what could have been. If you think about that, in every graveyard across the world, there is just unlimited, unused potential that was placed in each human being by the creator of the universe, and it never got realized. And I'm saying, friends, the best way for you to realize your greatest potential is give the gift you got to give. Don't give somebody else's gift. Give the gift you got to give. Hey, listen, there's a lie in our culture, and it really has to go. And the lie is this: you can do anything you want, anything you put your mind to. Listen, it's a nice sentiment, and I get the heart. People are trying to be encouraging. I get that. It's just that it's a lie, and it's really not helpful. Hey, listen, I'm 53 years old. I don't know how much more time I'm going to have on this planet. Could somebody please tell me the two or three things that I do really well so I can focus on those things? I don't need you to blow sunshine in my face and say, oh, you can do anything you want. Please don't let me waste any more of my life trying to figure it out. I need people to tell me, hey, Rouse, you do this really well, man. Work on that. Okay, I'm going to work on that. Friends, that's what you need. You need people to love you enough to speak into your life and go, look it, hey, don't waste your time on that stuff over there. I mean, you love you, don't do that. Do these three things. This is what you're made for. Because the truth is, you've been given a gift. God did create you. You think about it, he saw you before he created the world, and he knows exactly how it is that he designed you to fit, like your gifts, your abilities, your talents, to meet the needs that intersect with the needs around you. That's amazing that the God of the universe saw all of that before he ever created the world. Isn't that amazing? Man, so you've got this awesome potential. Give the gift you were given to give. Maximize it. That's how you find it. It finds its fullest potential. The L stands for love. You got to love. I mean, that goes without saying. You see what he says here? Love must be sincere. Verse 9. Hate what's evil, cling to what's good, be devoted to one another. That whole paragraph is really, you know, has to do with loving others. And then here's the word that catches my eye. It's the word practice. Practice. Hospitality. Practice. Are there any sick people in this room who like to practice? Nobody wants to raise their hand. I thought I did. Come on, you know practice is not fun. The whole point of practice, it's tedious. It's mind-numbing. The whole point of practice is you're running laps. You're doing fundamentals. You're doing the same small thing over and over and over and over and over again until it becomes second nature so that you can play the game without thinking about those things, so that you can win the game. That's the point of practice. My mother, God bless her, I love my mom. She paid for me to take piano lessons for 11 years. 11 years she paid, faithfully paid. And I can't play the piano. And you know why I can't play the piano? Because I didn't practice. Because my mother... This goes back to the previous point, how we have our things we do and the things we don't do. So one of the things my mom doesn't do is music. She's not very musical. I love my mom. She's not very musical. She's kind of tone deaf. And so she's like, so are you practicing? Oh, yeah, Mom, I'm practicing. Yeah, yeah. For 11 years, I faked it on the piano. Just have to tinker away on the keys a little bit. And my mom thought I was practicing. I have nothing to show for it. Practice, see, because practice was tedious. I didn't want to sit there and do my arpeggios and my scales and my yada, yada, yadas and whatever they are. I don't want to do that. That's boring. Just let me just play. Right. So the point of practice is that you're doing small things over and over again in order to win the game. Here's what I believe. The Bible tells us to practice hospitality. Why? Because that's how you grow in love. The whole point of practicing hospitality is to learn how to love. And hospitality seems to be a lost art in our culture these days. When was the last time you had somebody over just to have them over?
you know?
I mean, we typically, as a culture nowadays, if we meet up with friends, we meet up at some public place, Panera Bread or Starbucks or Silk City Coffee or, you know, something like that, that's the gym. We meet up outside the home. But I wonder if we've been losing something by not meeting up at home, by not practicing hospitality, by not learning that, hey, it's okay if my house is not perfectly clean. My friends don't judge it. They just want to spend time with me. It's cool. We can hang out. It's okay. See what I mean? That by practicing hospitality, that's the little thing that I do that enables me then to learn how to love. And as I learn how to love, that leads to the O in Big Lowy. I also discover I need to overlook a lot. If I'm going to love well, I need to overlook a lot. Look at what he says next. He says, bless those, verse 14, bless those who persecute you. Really? Yep. Rejoice with those who, yep. Mourn with those who mourn. Yeah. Live in harmony with one another. You know what it takes to have harmony? Different notes. Notice that? You got to have different notes. I've got to start overlooking a few things. See, here's what the Lord is trying to do. Here's what he's doing in you and me. He's trying to broaden the scope of who we can work with and who we can minister to, who we can care about. See, most people are only like, I care about these three people who are just like me. And we all do the same thing, and we like the same music, and we like the same food, and they're all the same thing. These three people. And then we judge everybody else because they don't fit in. They're all weird. They're this, they're that. But listen, God has a heart for the whole world. Does he not? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. God doesn't just so love the three people that he gets along with. God so loved the world. And so in order to have God's heart, I'm going to have to expand my horizons a little bit. Maybe I'm going to have to start to ask questions and get to know some people that otherwise I might think are kind of weird. And you know, when I do that, I discover that there's some really great people out there. Have you found that? It's like if I can just get past the surface crap, I can begin to discover there's a heart underneath that, and it's pretty cool. Just start asking some questions. You know, I think people are like food. Listen, I love chicken nuggets. They're probably my favorite food, but I can't have a whole diet on chicken nuggets because that's unhealthy. You say, hey, you better fit some veggies in there and some fruit in there and actually some real meat, something that's not processed. But I love chicken nuggets, yes, but you can't, you know, expand it a little bit. Friends, if all you're doing is hanging out with chicken nuggets, you need to expand the diet. And let me just say it this way, and I don't mean to offend anybody, but it's got to be said, I feel. You know, the reason why some people like to just hang out with chicken nuggets, the reason why we hang out with junk food is because it's comfortable for us. Junk food doesn't challenge me. Some of us have a circle of friends because those friends don't challenge us, because they're just as screwed up as I am, and it makes me comfortable. I don't have to address being screwed up because, look, they're all screwed up. Friends, I want to challenge you this morning. If that's you, expand your diet a little bit. Remember Proverbs 13:20? He who walks with the wise grows wise. If you want wisdom, seek out wise people and hang out with them, and they'll rub off on you. If you want wisdom. If you want to be a fool, okay, hey, keep eating junk food. Go for it. And that's all you'll ever get. But I'm telling you, if you want wisdom, if you want to grow, seek wise. And if you want the heart of God, open up your horizons a little bit. Now, there's one thing that I'm not saying, and please, please, please don't hear what I'm not saying. Okay? Let me explain. Let me say it this way. We're commanded to love everybody. but I receive from few. Understand? I'm commanded to get along with everybody. I love everybody. I'm friends with anybody who wants to be a friend. Absolutely. But there's a few that I receive from. I walk with the wise so that I can grow wise. But if I'm hanging out with people that are bringing me down, that's not going to help me out very much. So you're not hearing me say, lower your standards and, you know, just let it all throw it to the wind. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying be careful about who you receive from and then love everybody. But to do that, I've got to overlook a lot. And one of the things you got to overlook, I'll just say this real quick, and that's this, is you've got to overlook maybe the package and the delivery, because sometimes the delivery is sort of rough. Have you noticed that? Some people are not very good at communicating, and so the way they say it, it just kind of comes out really harsh sometimes. But if you can get past that and not be offended by the package, you might discover that there's a really good message there. I've learned that over the years, 31 years of preaching. I've heard a lot of bad sermons. I've delivered a lot of bad sermons. Never a bad message. No matter how rough my delivery is right now, the Word of God is good. And if you can cut past the hillbilly preacher and hear the message, you hear the Word of God. That's the good stuff. See, so we got to learn to look past the package sometimes, you know? And then that leads to E, and that is encourage. So if I'm going to experience true belonging, I need to build up and not bring down, because I'm part of this anyway. It's how I belong that matters. I need to give the gift I've got. I need to love a lot. I need to overlook a lot, and I need to encourage those, even if they're coming against me. I need to encourage them. That's this last part. You notice this here? We all love this saying if you be nice to your enemy, you know, you'll heap burning coals on his head. You see that there? And oftentimes we get that completely wrong because we think of it as like getting them. You know, you're being mean to me, so I'm going to be nice to you and make you feel bad. That's what I'm going to do. And that's not heaping burning coals on their head. This is actually an ancient euphemism for encouragement. Huh. It is. Let me explain. In these days, they didn't have stoves and they didn't have HVAC systems. So they cooked over a fire and they stayed warm over a fire. And of course, these are the days before matches. So starting a fire the Boy Scout way isn't the easiest way to start a fire. So what you needed to do was keep your fire going. Now, in the household, it was a woman's job primarily to maintain the fire in the household. And so if a woman's fire might have gone out for whatever reason, because it's going to happen a time or two, she would put a clay pot on her head, because that's how they carried things, and she would go to her neighbors, and she would ask for coals from their fires to take them back to her house and to light her fire. So the term heap burning coals on their head became a term of, it means to encourage. See, I want to keep your fire burning. How do I keep your fire burning? How do I get your fire relit? Look at, your enemy is behaving that way for a reason. There's a brokenness in their heart. There's something going on. A person's not just a jerk because they're a jerk. There's always a reason why they're a jerk. Somewhere down deep in there, there's something happening in the heart, and their fire went out. And when you heap burning coals on their head, what it's saying is when you love them anyway, and sometimes that is you feed, you give a drink with you treat them with kindness, kill them with kindness, so to speak. When you do that, you're relighting the fire. You're trying to stoke that fire. You're trying to warm that person back up again. The coldness that's crept down into their soul that's led them to behave the way that they're behaving, you're trying to get that fire relit. Ah, it's a beautiful thing. So when you take that, you say, my job is to encourage even that person who is not being very nice to me. I'm going to encourage that person. Look for ways to build them up. Look for ways to heat them up. Friends, all these things come together to create true belonging. Like I said, true belonging is not about what other people do for you. It's about what you do for other people. True belonging. Can I go through them again? So you're already part of it. So build it up, don't bring it down. And you give the gift you got. God gave you a gift. Share it. Love. Love even when it's tough. Overlook a lot in order that you might be able to impact as many people as possible. And you encourage even the people that are coming after you and coming hard on you. You encourage them and build them up. You relight their fires and get them warm. Following that?
Thanks for listening today. If you'd like more encouragement or information about New River Church, check us out at newriverchurch.org.